Hello and welcome to the Currency Exchange, NatWest Markets FX podcast, where we help to break down the major themes and events driving currency markets this week and in the weeks ahead. Today, I'm joined by Alvaro Vivanco, our head of ESG and emerging market strategy. I guess in the recent few weeks, we've seen that the dollar has been very strongly supportive, both by more hawkish commentary coming out from the central bank, but also kind of relative strength coming through in US data. I guess, you know, how much of a prerequisite for emerging markets is a weaker dollar?
Hi, Ymer. Thanks, everybody, for joining this week. Yeah, I mean, over the last few weeks and since the last time we spoke on the podcast, the dollar has had a little bit, I wouldn't say, you know, it has been a shift in the themes, but certainly, as you mentioned, the data has been a little bit stronger and we've seen a rebound of the dollar versus the major currencies. For EM, what has been very, very interesting is if you analyze just this period, is that there's a bit of a disconnect between the overall EM performance and dollar. And what I mean by that is that if you look at how different currencies have done, basically, right, they have been driven by domestic fundamentals and the shift in those and some concerns in some cases and some strengths on the other side. Overall, I guess the index for EM currencies has dropped a little bit, but it really masks this major differentiation and discrimination. And I think that you have been talking about some of these cases, especially South Africa, right? If you look at over the last 4 weeks or so, that's really the one that has underperformed significantly. At the very margin, I guess, you know, the strong dollar doesn't help, but it really has been much more about, you know, some of those things that maybe you can touch upon and remind us, you know, how they have evolved. But, you know, for other stuff on the other side, right, things like Colombia, even Brazil, max some stuff in Asia that has a little bit more carry has been, I would say, relatively resilient. And I think people more and more, especially as we head into the summer months here and with volatility being this low, I would say that the conversations have tended to be more about the specific countries than trying to play the dollar theme through EM currency.
I definitely think in my region, we've got some of the culprits for kind of dragging down that broad EM index. And I can certainly see investors are really focusing on geopolitical risk. As you mentioned, South Africa, you know, the big thing dragging it lower was those US accusations that it actually had armed Russia. And we're just heading into a central bank meeting. On that note, how do you think kind of central banks across the EM have reacted to kind of inflation falling, but probably slower than perhaps they would like?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a big thing for us, right? We're paying a lot of attention of how the central banks in EM kind of frame the very peak of the cycle. In most cases, they are definitely done in terms of hikes, but it was very important to us to see how they will, you know, send the message of how quickly the cuts can come. And I think we have a little bit of the same story, right? We have cases like, I will point out Mexico as one being where the central bank kind of went out of its way to be very cautious, very defensive, and very focused on domestic inflation in terms of, you know, when they could start the easing cycle. And basically they said it's going to be a prolonged period of time, which certainly doesn't seem like there any urgency to ease rates, even though, you know, the absolute levels of rates, in Mexico and many other emerging markets are obviously very, very high. There's, you know, some political pressures. There's been some evidence, although not that much, that tight monetary conditions is hurting growth. But what we have seen in cases like Mexico is just, you know, we have done so much over the last few years, really, since COVID, to tighten conditions. Let's not risk the market pressuring us too much, and let's just be very conservative and manage that process very carefully. As you have been pointing out, you know, the other extreme is clearly Hungary. But even in that case, I think we saw more of a balanced message that maybe we were expecting. So, you know, maybe you can comment on that as well.
Yeah, I have to say I was very positively surprised when it came to Hungary. So Hungary is the first, I guess, tradable emerging market central bank to actually start the cutting cycle. But what you really saw was, as you said, kind of a very conservative, market sensitive approach to policy easing. So basically completely over communicated. They really promised, you know, a very cautious, gradual, market sensitive pace of easing. And they've already, just as they got going, kind of suggested a near-term lower bound, so dropping rates from 18% before the last meeting to 13%. So really, you know, kind of easing markets into it, I guess is the theme. You know, we are seeing, I guess, lots of recent developments, and probably South Africa is kind of front and center. We are seeing questions over investability of EM. I know this is something you've been kind of speaking about a lot recently. I guess, what are your concerns for the space and how do you see investors reacting?
Yeah, no, especially following the Turkish elections, right, which clearly were a disappointment for investors. For us, over the long term, what we are seeing is more and more of these large markets that were liquid, that were a big part or a significant part of the index, of the emerging market index, kind of falling out of the investable universe space, right? So we had obviously Russia, we have Turkey with this disappointing election result. We have the noise in South Africa that you have been mentioning, which is different than kind of the day-to-day, you know, concerns about policy, concerns about how central banks or ministers of finance are managing the cycle. It really goes to whether over the long term on a structural basis you want to, you know, put capital in this, in these countries. These are, you know, very deep kind of concerns. And as a result of that, right, what you're seeing is kind of the list of countries where big institutional investors can invest decreasing over the last few years. So it's obviously a negative because we always want, you know, better countries with better fundamentals that, you know, still offer high carry and, you know, positive returns. I also think the other side of that is that, you know, there it is a very positive development for the countries that have performed well in terms of the policy response over the last few years, and they're big and they're liquid, right? And, you know, things like Mexico and to some extent Brazil are at the top of the list, which, you know, the positioning in the fixed income markets, as we have been describing over the last few months, it really has not come back anywhere close to where it was before the pandemic. And I think kind of the case for emerging market as a whole is still fairly strong. There's, you know, there's still a lot of appetite to increase the participation of global investors in emerging markets. But just the list, you know, if the list is smaller, then you have to concentrate in a few of these countries. So I still think that, you know, on a structural level, this is positive for the countries that, you know, are doing their homework and are doing the right thing, and they're going to be rewarded at some point.
So a shrinking pool of investable assets for investors with really massive differentiation within them. And really, you know, investors have a long way to kind of build back up their exposure. I guess with that in mind, what are your top goals for emerging markets going forward? And what's the broad outlook for EM?
Yeah, I mean, we have been positive on emerging markets, especially high currency, high carry, high beta currencies since the last quarter of last year. So, you know, these teams have already played a lot. There's been some positive performance, very resilient, as I was mentioning at the beginning. I will say at the margin, going into the period of less liquidity, we are a little bit more tactical or a little bit more conscious of levels. But I think the themes of EM carry, low volatility, relatively still weaker dollar overall, even though, you know, we have seen a little bit more of the positive factors coming through, I still feel that there are a few places, you know, Brazil being one of them, Poland in your space, India, that on a relative value basis, at the very least, still offer quite a bit of value. And this is a combination not only of carry, right? We're not long carry for the sake of being long carry, but we think that, you know, again, the central banks being fairly hawkish, very conservative, the fundamental story, and also valuations, right? And I think that that's where You know, there's a little bit of misunderstanding of, you know, where the levels are. I think that we need to look, you know, over the last few years and really go back to 2018 to see where, you know, these cyclical factors affect currency. So we're still fairly constructive. On EM, we're very, very specific in which countries make sense and which don't, as we have been highlighting. But for now, I think it's difficult to see a very, very strong return of the dollar overall across emerging markets.
Mm. Well, that positive outlook, I will call it a wrap there. Avara, thank you so much for joining us. If you did like the podcast, please do click like and make sure to subscribe so you get the latest episode first.